Listening to her sing that, I thought to myself, I remember when the Lord had called me out of darkness and she still walked in it, and our paths were going in different ways in a way, you know. And then the Lord spoke to her heart from the preaching of the gospel. And what a difference in our lives that we have today. Not a holier than now difference. We're the same flesh that we were before. We still deal with the problems that most couples deal with. Kathy and I don't have a perfect relationship, but we have a pretty good one, one that's lasted for 43 years now. Actually 45 if you want to count those days in high school. God has been gracious to us in a great, great way. But not in that He hasn't changed our lives in any way that makes us any different than anybody else, other than that we have a Savior. We have a hope. We know what we are. But our hope is different than what we used to have. We saw something different when the Lord showed us what happened at Calvary for His people. Like I said earlier in my prayer, He cut away that heart of stone that would say, "This man shall not rule over me," and gave us a heart that says, "My Savior is God of everything." That's the truth. He is God of everything. I'd like to ask you to open to Romans chapter 9. Where do we go in today's world for something that we can grab a hold of that we know is truth? Now, I want you to put aside what I'm about to say in a political sense and think about it in a sense of truth and lies. I realize these two subjects may be political in some ways, but I want you to understand the truth of the matter. In today's world, they say a child is not a child until they breathe. That's a lie. It's an outright lie. The truth of the matter is, within eight days, that little human being formed in the mother's womb takes a heartbeat. But yet the world around us, they say completely different. No, it's not a child, it's not a human being. Or, what about this other thing? I feel like I'm a woman. So therefore I am. That's a lie. It's an outright lie. You cannot be a woman if you were born a man. We have certain things called chromosomes in us. And Ys and all kinds of other stuff. Garrett's studying on these things right now. Go ask him afterwards. He'll tell you he's getting an A in that class. I'm sorry, Garrett. We have these things in our bodies that tell us what we really and truly are. And that's the truth of the matter. We are men and women, male and female. And the world's got it all backwards. It's whatever I feel is truth. I can turn whatever I want. You listen to a politician speak, you know that they're lying to you. Because their mouth is open. And it doesn't matter what field they're in, whether a Democrat or Republican or Independent, whatever. It's all lies. Where do we go for truth?
Right here.
Amen. Right here. Chapter 9, verse 1. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. You want truth in this life, in this world that we walk through? Go to God's Word. We cannot look to our leaders of our country for truth. Oh yeah, you know, you're going to get some truth here, a little bit there. Do you know the devil gave a little bit of truth? Unfortunately, it was the wrong part of truth. God said to Adam and Eve, he said to Adam first, he said, if you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. And the devil came along a little bit afterwards and he says, no, you won't surely die. Actually, what's going to happen is this. And the first lie right there. That's it. The lie was made. You'll see yourselves as gods. And that was truth. Because mankind have thought themselves of gods ever since, haven't they? My subject matter today is, can you, those of you who hear my voice right now, can you believe God? In Mark 9:23, it says, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now I'm going to speak to you for a little bit this morning on this very subject, can you believe God? And I have three texts. The first text is taken from Romans 4. I'm going to go through them kind of quickly. So if you want to just set your Bibles down, if you'd like a list of these scriptures afterwards to go through and check, I'd be happy to give them to you. And this in Romans chapter 4, it talks about Abraham. Abraham was the father of the faithful, it is said. He is the pattern of faith. Abraham was the one to whom God showed such grace and mercy that he was called a friend of God. It says in Romans 4, verse 23, Abraham believed God. That is what made the difference. He believed God. That's the only thing that made the difference. And it was counted to him for righteousness. And the fact is that he believed God. It was imputed to him, or reckoned to him, in other words, to be counted unto him for holiness, or for righteousness and acceptance. Paul, the writer of this scripture, he goes on and he says something else to you and I. He says, Abraham believed God. He believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. This was not written for Abraham's sake alone. It was righteousness that was imputed to him through faith, but also for us also. This same righteousness that was imputed to Abraham in holiness and acceptance shall be imputed to all if we believe God. Now, isn't that something? Can you believe God? His word is truth. I say the truth in Christ. Abraham was a man, right? Just like you and I. Flesh and blood. Bones. He was flesh, just as you and I are. He was a man with like passions. He could get angry. He could feel love. He could feel disappointment. He was a family man, a working man, a laboring man, a farmer, you might say. Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. That wasn't just written for Abraham. He wasn't a special character in this sense of the word. This was written for us also, to whom this same righteousness that it was imputed to him, holiness and acceptance by the same God shall be given if we believe God. So I ask you again, can you believe God? In the book of Mark, chapter 16, verse 15, it says, our Lord gathered his disciples about him after he had been crucified and raised from the grave. This was before that he was ascended back to the Father. And Judas was dead already. And Paul would join them a little bit later. And he said unto them, to these 11 apostles, you go into all the world and you preach the gospel, my gospel. You preach the gospel of my grace, the gospel of my glory. You go and preach that gospel to everybody and to every creature. And then he says this. He says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Doesn't say he that makes a decision, or he that get baptized, or he that comes on Saturday, or he that does anything else, says he that believeth. He that believeth God's word. He that believeth the truth in Christ. But he that believeth not shall be damned. So many of the world today, they want to stop where he that believeth shall be saved. That's where they stop. And they don't want to go on and tell the rest of those who are listening to them, but if you don't believe, and you go through that door marked death, you're going to hell. The place that we all deserve to go to. Now, the next question is, can you believe the gospel? These are the words of Christ himself. He said, you go preach this gospel, and wherever you go, and to whomever, I can say that word in a moment, you preach to, and as they listen to you, that person who believes this gospel shall be gloriously, eternally, and unchangeably saved. And the person who does not believe this gospel shall be damned. In Mark 9:23, it says, there was a man who came to our Lord, and this man had a son that had some sort of disease, possibly epilepsy or demon possessed. There was definitely some problem with him. And he said to the Lord, I brought my son to your disciples and they couldn't do anything for him. Now if you can do anything for him, will you help us, please? And our Lord looked at the man and he said this. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And that is what I ask you today. Can you believe God? Can you believe his word? Now, if there is any one thing that is established in these three texts, I would have you read 3,000 different ones and you'd come up with the same thing. This one thing that is established in the word of God, and it is the importance of believing God. Listen to Hebrews, what it says in 11, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, without believing, without trusting. He that cometh to God must believe that God is, and that God is the rewarder of, the redeemer, of all those who diligently seek him. If any man comes to God, he must believe God. There is no alternative. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's what his word says. Four times the scripture says in Habakkuk, Galatians, Hebrews, and Romans, the just shall live by faith. This is how they live. They live by faith. This is how we live. We live by faith. We have faith that God is going to provide for us everything. It may not be everything that we want, but it will be everything that we need. When the doors first closed and we began the services, we were few. Some more filtered in. Praise the Lord for those that are here. My comment was this, though. Where two or more are gathered in the name of the Lord, so shall he be. That was our faith. We had faith. Do you realize that's a work?
Yes.
That's a work that God does in his people. Not a work that you and I have done. For faith is a gift of God, is it not?
Yes.
The very fact that we can believe the gospel is because our Lord has already started a good work in us. All the promises of God are to those who believe. There are no promises to the people who don't believe. There is no love, there is no grace, there is no blood, there is no redemption for a person who does not believe. All the promises of God are in Christ Jesus, and they are yea. The promises of God are not yea and no, they are yea. The promises are to those who believe. And also in Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about Noah, Enoch, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Sarah, and Rahab. This chapter talks about all these people of the Old Testament who walked with God. Do you know the one thing that all these people had in common? They believed God. That's what it says. The one thing, according to Hebrews chapter 11, is faith. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God, prepared an ark. It says, by faith, Enoch walked with God. By faith, Abraham was called out of his father's house to go in the land that God would show him. By faith, Jacob. By faith, Isaac. All things are possible to them that believe. So can you believe God? Let me ask you this question and then try to answer it from the scriptures if you can. What is it to believe God? You hear everybody talk about faith, faith, faith. So what is faith? And what is it to believe God? Well, I can tell you this. It's not just to believe that there is a God. James tells us that ye believe God, and that is, ye believe that there is one God, and you do well. But the devils also believe, and they tremble. So it is not just to believe that there is a God, but to believe Him. To believe His Word. Not to believe that there is a God. Everybody thinks there is a God. You go over here to the other churches, you ask, do you believe that there's a God? Oh, yeah. Yeah, He lives in that tree right out back out here. Come on, we'll show you how to worship there. You go to the Muslim countries, you ask them, do you believe in God? They say, oh, yeah. Yeah, and if we kill you, we get 20 virgins. Isn't that great? You can ask anybody. They all believe that there is a God. But you have to believe God in what He is and what He says He is. It's not enough just to have the knowledge that there is a God. You must believe Him. When our Lord Jesus Christ encountered the man with the evil spirits, those evil spirits said, we know who you are. You are the Holy One of God. Have you come to torment us before our time? You see, they acknowledged that Jesus Christ was God, didn't they? They acknowledged that they had a time when He would deal with them in judgment. They said, have you come to torment us before our time? So to believe God is not just to acknowledge His presence, His power, and His judgment. It is to trust Him and to lean on Him. You have to believe on Him, trust Him, and lean on Him. It is not just to profess a faith with the mouth. It is to act out of that faith in coming to Him. What is it to believe God? Well, the answer to believe God and trust Him, I have to cast myself upon Him, to lean on Him, and to come to Him and keep coming to Him. Paul sums up faith this way. He says in 2 Timothy 1:12, Paul said, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed to Him. Now here is the definition of faith. Here is a man of faith. Here is an apostle. This is the man God used so mightily and greatly. He is a man of great revelation. He wrote 14 of the 27 books in the New Testament. Here he gives his summary of faith. This is the way he gives it. He says, I know whom I believed. I know whom I believed. You see, salvation is a person. I know whom I believed. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe Him when He says He is God Almighty, the Creator. I believe Him when He tells me that I went to the cross for you and paid your sins with my blood, the perfect blood of Christ, the perfect blood of the Son of God. I believe that my sins were laid upon Him when He says, when it says, when His Word says, He was made to be sin for me. I love that. I believe that He was made sin for me. You see, it's not just to profess faith with the mouth. It's to act out that faith in coming to Him. I know that He is a sovereign God. I know that He is the Almighty. I know that He is a just God. I know that He is merciful. I know that He is God in Christ. I know that He is Jehovah, the Lord my Savior. I know He is my Redeemer. I know whom I have believed. Oh, that I may know Him more in the power of His resurrection. Oh, that I may win Christ, that I might know Him more. More about Jesus, what I know. That's what they said about Abraham in the old days. He believed God, and he believed that God was able to do all that he promised. That's exactly what Paul is saying here. He says, I believe God, I know him, and I know and am confident and persuaded that he, what he says he can do, he will do. What he says he is able to save to the uttermost, he will save to the uttermost. None of my sins can be imputed to me. There is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. He is able to keep us from falling. He is able to raise our vile bodies and to make them like his own. He is able to accomplish his divine and holy will. I know it, and I'm confident of it, because he has given me that confidence. Notice the last words Paul said there. He says, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded and am confident that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. You see, this is faith. It's not only a knowledge where he says, I know God. He says, I know who he is. But it is also that I know that what he did. I know why he did it, and I know where Christ is right now. He's at the right hand of God. I am persuaded that he is able to fulfill and to do all that he promised, and is able to keep that which I've committed unto him. Oh yeah, don't you? Aren't you committed? Aren't you faithful? I mean, aren't you able to say the same thing that Paul does there? None of these things are secondary in knowledge or confidence, but I'll tell you this. Faith, if it is faith, acts and commits. Faith, if it is faith, surrenders. God said, Abraham, get thee out of thy father's house to the land that I will show thee. Abraham believed God. You ask me, how do I know he believed God? Because he got out of his house and he went out. How do I know you love God? How do I know that you believe God? God tells his people, love your brothers and sisters in Christ. Love thy neighbor. Look at the love. You realize we come from all kinds of different places, you and I. Some are bikers. Some are golfers. Some are carpenters. Some are painters. Whatever place you come from, look at the love that people have for each other in this room. How do I know you believe God? Because you're doing what God tells you to do. He tells you to gather together. Do not forsake the gathering together. Where are you right now? You're sitting here. Come to me, he says. What are you doing right now? You're not coming to me. I'm just some fool sinner standing here before you. You're coming to God. You're coming to Christ. You're coming to hear his word. To hear more about Jesus. Abraham, we know he was faithful. We know that he believed God because he left his home. Rahab was told to hang a scarlet line out the window and she would be spared. She believed God. How do we know? Because she hung the scarlet ribbon out the window. The Lord said to Moses, put blood on the door, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. So how do we know that those people believed God? Because they put the blood on the door. In the book of Romans, it talks about justification of the soul. By faith, we are justified. We are not justified by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, we have to conclude that a man is justified by faith without the words, without the works of the law. Yes. That's what Paul teaches in Romans. We are justified, forgiven, pardoned, redeemed by his death. We are justified by his life, by his work, by his doing and dying. We are not justified by anything that we have done. James comes along a little bit later and he teaches that justification of faith is works. You see, the justification of the soul is by Christ through faith. How do you know that a man that a man's faith is genuine? Well, the answer is by his works. Faith without works is dead works. So Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to do all that he said and is able to keep. I have proved my confidence in him, and I have proved my faith in him, and I have proved I know him by committing everything I have to him. You're committing your Sunday morning to our Lord Jesus Christ right now. That's what our Lord has told you to do. All worship and glory goes to our Lord Jesus Christ. You're all here today because there's nothing in you worth glorifying. You've come to hear the one who is worth being glorified, our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the Word of God. That's what He's telling us to do. Worship Him. Not us. Go to one of these other churches. Go ahead. I'm not worried about it. Our Lord says that my people, even if a viper bites them, won't bother them. He'll protect us from that. Go to these other churches and tell me what you hear there. Do you hear the raising of men? Do you hear the glorifying of men? I've gone to a few and that's all I've ever heard. The glorifying of men. In God's churches, we don't glorify men because there's nothing to glorify. But we do worship and praise the one who is worth being worth all glory and praise. You see, obedience is what separates false faith from true faith. Christ says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. He's not saying keeping my commandments makes you love me, but rather loving me makes you keep his commandments. Christ said, you're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. I'm not a friend of God because I do what he says. I do what he says because I'm a friend of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? I know we don't do it perfectly. No. We're not going to do anything perfect until the Lord takes us home. But in my heart, my desire is to do the things that satisfy and bring glory to my Lord. Isn't that what's in yours? Faith produces works. Real faith will produce a labor of love and works of faith. If a person claims to believe God and doesn't live like it, walk like it, talk like it, and act like it, then he really doesn't believe God, does he? Abraham, he said, take your son upon the mountain and sacrifice him to me. Abraham believed God. How do I know? Because he took Isaac up to the top of the mountain. He did what God commanded him to do. You see, to believe Christ is to receive him. You have to receive him as your Lord, your master, the Lord of your life. Bow to his will. No man can serve two masters, is what our Lord says. There are people out in this world who claim to believe on Jesus, yet they give no evidence of it. They're selfish, greedy, unthoughtful, unholy, and indifferent. They are not identified with God's people. They don't believe God, for if you believe God, you would walk with God. To believe Christ is to receive him. To believe Christ is to come to him in your body and your soul. What did Ruth say to Naomi? She said, I love you. And where you go, I go, and your people are my people. Where I lodge, I will. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Where you die, I will die. Where you are buried, I will be buried. Now she loved that woman, wouldn't you say? Yes. If a person loves Christ, will he say the same thing? Will he say, where you go, I will go? Your will is my will. Your commandment is my command. Your people are my people. Where you lodge, I will lodge. When I die in confidence and faith in you. To believe Christ is to trust him. Trust him for our needs. We have some things that are of great consideration here at Rescue right now. And we have options. And some of those options are not good options. You know, we're studying the book of Isaiah, and Isaiah has just beat up Israel for going outside and getting help from the Assyrians. God led Israel into bondage to Assyria for that very thing. Some think that maybe we should go outside. I don't believe so. I don't know how the Lord is going to do it, but he says he'll provide one way or another. Some of you may not know this. We were supposed to get a 3-ton unit put on this roof last Tuesday or last week sometime. What you see sitting out there right now is a big, big 5-ton unit. What we paid for is a 3-ton unit. But they sent the wrong one, and they didn't have any of the right ones, so they sent a bigger and better one instead. Now, you tell me that's not God providing what we need.
Yes.
That unit out there is big enough that it might heat and cool this entire building on its own, where we used to have 3. That's God providing the ways. And this is something that came from within us. What God gave us to give to the church. What God has provided through us. We didn't go outside of the Church of Israel at all. To believe Christ is to trust him for our needs. Spiritually, materially, and physically. To trust him. He said, take no anxious thought for what you're going to eat or drink or wear. Your Father knows you have needs of these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If you believe God, then you will walk in his word. To believe Christ is to continually to believe him. Not just today, not just maybe for a little while here, but to continually trust in him. Continually look to him. You know what John says about people that run hot for a little while and then they get cold? He says they serve God for a little while and then they quit. They come to church for a little while and then they disappear for a time. He says they'll believe a little bit while and then they'll quit believing it. They work with this crowd, they walk with this crowd for a little while and then they walk no more. John said this, he says, they went out from us. Because they were never of us. They claimed to be for a little while and professed to be for a little while, but they were never of us. How do you know that they were not of us? How do we know? Because if they were with us, if they were of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. That's what the Word of God says. We are the house of Christ. If we hold fast to the profession in our faith, hold fast to the faith firm unto the end. If anyone asks me what it is to believe God or what is saving faith, I would say to them right now, it is to have confidence and be persuaded that he is able to do all that he has said he would do. It is genuinely continually committing in my heart and body and soul and all that I possess to the one that I love, my Lord Jesus Christ. This is not a sign that I would put out in the front of my house. This is an experience in my heart. He is my Lord. He rules over me. Sometimes he allows me to step out what I think is my own way, but he still rules over me. He is sovereign over everything. If he's not sovereign over everything, then he's not God. And we're wasting our time. We could be watching golf or something, right? So, all right, here's the second question for you. You see, this saving faith has a chief objective. It's not just a general faith. I know that in a sense we do believe the Word of God. From Genesis to Revelation, we know that God can't lie. We believe the Word of God. The Word of God is an object of faith. God said, my word will not return unto me void. I believe the Bible. And secondly, is to believe the promises of God from Genesis to Revelation, from the first promise of the seed of the woman to the very last promise. We believe God and we believe his promises. We believe in his mercy. God is plenteous in mercy, it says. Really and truly. Listen carefully to me, folks. What is the chief objective of saving faith? This saving faith is brought together in one point. There is someone who I believe. I believe God, and I believe His Word, and I believe His promises, I believe His mercy, and I believe His grace, and all of this, all of that is delivered perfectly in Christ Jesus our Lord. Christ is the Word. He's the only way that I know that the Word of God is in Christ. No man has seen God at any time save the Son. He to whom the Son will reveal Him. He is even called the Word of God. So I believe Christ, and therefore I believe the Word of God. He is the Word of God, that the very revelation of God. Then I believe God, and Christ is God. I believe the promises, all of them. There is nothing for a sinner outside of Christ. Every promise of God Almighty is centered on the Lord Jesus. And when I believe Christ, I believe the promises of God and the mercy of God. Paul keeps saying over and over again, grace, mercy, and peace unto you from God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ in all of his letters. That's the reason now to listen to this. I'm coming to my point. This is a reason that when the jailer of Philippi asked Paul, he says, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" Paul replied in one sentence, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Whosoever believeth in me shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Well, how are you going to call on Him if you don't believe in Him? How are you going to believe in Him if you've never heard of Him? When I believe Christ, when I receive Christ, when I embrace Christ as my Savior, as my Lord, as God Almighty, when I rest in Him, then I am resting, trusting, and believing all the Word that He has given me in this book. This is the reason that John said in 1 John 1:10 through 12, it says, "This is the record God hath given us unto eternal life. This life is in His Son. He that hath the Son of God hath life. He that hath not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God that abideth in him." In 1 Corinthians 1:30 it says, "Of him are ye in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. In Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Everything is in Christ. Paul himself says, "I preach Christ and Him crucified. I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ." When you preach Christ, you preach God. When you preach Christ, you preach the Word of God. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was made flesh." When you preach Christ, you preach the promises of God. When you preach Christ, you preach the mercies of God. When you preach Christ, you preach the wisdom of God, the righteousness of God, the redemption and the sanctification of God. The reason is because it's all about Him. How does this saving faith generally come to a person, you might ask? Can you look to Christ and believe Christ? How does this saving faith generally come to a person? How does God work faith? It says, "For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." How does God work faith? How does He personally and generally come to faith and ordinarily? I know that God works when He will, with whom He will, and the way He will. Here are four things that you might want to listen to. First of all, how does God generally work faith? The Lord, by the Word, is never without the Word of God. "God hath chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." How does He work faith in His people? Well, how did He work faith in you? It was very simple. for me. Very simple. Our Lord brought tragedy into my life. He brought sorrow. And as I came here one day to hear to cry on my brother's shoulder, I heard the gospel preached. Every time I hear the gospel preached, my faith, God works faith in me, reminding me of who He is and what He's done for me. Faith cometh by hearing. Secondly, the Lord, by His Word and by His Spirit, will continually convince man that he is a sinner. So He will shut him up in the Lord's mercy in Christ. Oh, how quick it is for us to forget who our righteousness is and think that we have some of our own. See the good things that I did today? Oh, how I love the Lord will take me and just shut me up. No, John, it's not what you did. It's what I have done in you. This comes to us glorifying our Lord even in what we do, doesn't it? I don't need to share with you the good things I do. For anything that I have done is what my Lord has worked in me. All glory in heaven and earth go to Him. Paul said, when the law came, I died. Or in other words, in the flesh, no man can please God. So we are shut up to the mercy. We are shut up to His help and to His will. The leper said to the Lord, Lord, if you will, you can make me whole. And he certainly needed it, didn't he? He couldn't make himself whole, could he? Isn't that interesting? Leprosy. A disease that could be healed, but there was nothing you could do to heal it. Even in today's world. Thirdly, the Lord will then, by His Word and by His Spirit, reveal Christ to that sinner. That very one who He shuts up to His own righteousness and He shows the righteousness in Christ. He reveals Christ in His life as our righteousness. And in His death by His blood as our atonement. We will find out who died on that cross and why He died on that cross and where He is now. The Lord by His Spirit reveals that salvation is in Christ and Christ alone. Because He died, I don't have to die. He lived a perfect life and it counts to me for righteousness because I believe God. Fourthly and lastly, the Lord by His Word and by His Spirit will work repentance and saving faith in the sinner's heart. He will make us willing in the day of His power. The goodness of God will lead us to repentance. He grants us eyes to see His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us ears to hear His voice in the preaching of His Word. Then the Lord by His Word and by His Spirit will continue to reveal Christ and we will grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Day by day we feast upon the Word and we feed upon the Word. We feed on Christ who is the Word. We grow and we come to know Him better. You see, we have been saved and we are being saved and our salvation is nearer than we believed. There is the confidence of faith. We might ask, the Word of God gives us assurance. Yeah, that's right. The Word gives us assurance. By God Himself, it is in the confidence and assurance of His Word. God is almighty, He says. God is unchangeable, He says. God is faithful, He says. He will never leave us and He will never forsake us. Is that not giving us assurance for our faith right there? Is that not our faith turning to Him, the assurance of His Word? Our confidence is not in ourselves. Our confidence is in Christ alone. The truth is in Christ. The truth is by Christ. And the truth is for Christ. And all glory belongs to Him. Even our faith comes by hearing, and by the hearing of His word. Amen.